Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Shirdakshayi Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Purport. It appears that the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be heard in trance by competent persons. Note the word competent here. Modern science gives us telephones by which one can hear sound vibrations from a distant place. Similarly, although other persons cannot hear the words of Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma is able to hear the Lord's words within himself. This is confirmed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. 1.1.1. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Adikavi is Lord Brahma. In the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma received the instructions of Vedic knowledge from Lord Vishnu through the medium of the heart, Hrida. The same principle is confirmed herewith. While Brahma was in trance, he was able to hear the words of Shirodakshayi Vishnu, and he carried the Lord's message to the demigods. Similarly, in the beginning, Brahma first received the Vedic knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the core of the heart. In both instances, the same process was used in transmitting the message to Lord Brahma. In other words, although Lord Vishnu was invisible, even to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma could hear Lord Vishnu's words through the heart. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is invisible even to Lord Brahma, yet he descends on this earth and becomes visible to people in general. This is certainly an act of his causeless mercy, but fools and non-devotees think that Krishna is an ordinary historical person because they think that the Lord is an ordinary person like them. They are described as mudha, avajananti maam mudha. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is neglected by such demoniac persons who cannot understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, and who therefore misinterpret them. Om Jnana Timrandasya Nanjana Shalakaya Chakshura Matam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama. Interesting subject. How one receives this transcendental message from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Competent persons, as like Lord Brahma, are directly in communion with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord may direct them from within the heart directly. He's directing us too. Ishvara Sarva Bhuktanam Radesha Juna Tishtati. He's guiding everyone's wanderings. But we don't recognize that mercy of Krishna, because our hearts are not pure. They're covered with various coverings, kalatmaka. They're coated, covered, colored. So we see things just when Krishna came into the Dana Yogi of Kamsa. Everybody saw him. It's the same person, but they saw him differently. Perception. The whole purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement Chetodarpana Marjana is to purify our perception, how we see things, how we judge things. We tend to judge things, naturally speaking, in our conditioned state according to whatever condition we're in. Even when we get some dreams, sometimes we get some kind of reflective dreams, or maybe even more so, where there seems to be some message, but they may also be interpreted or, let's say, transformed through our conditioned state. We don't get the clear message. Therefore, the Lord appears, that same Shirdakshai Vishnu, the Super Soul. He appears externally as a spiritual master who is in communion with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is giving us that opportunity to hear the direction of the Super Soul. You can say he's the living manifestation of the Super Soul directing us. Doesn't mean he is the Super Soul, but he's giving us the words or the direction of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we may progress in our spiritual lives. But to the degree that we still interpret or still practice, understand, due to our conditional life, of course, then it is mixed, and we will not get the result won't be quite so clear. It won't be the same. A very simple example. You can give so many examples. Even Prabhupada gives spectacles as an example. If your spectacles are tinted or dirty, then you get an imperfect understanding of the object which we visualized. The famous story of, I think it's John Sachs, the six blind men of Hindustan. You know, they all had a different interpretation of what an elephant is. Because they're all blind. Blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Om Gyana Timrandas Yagananjana Shlakya. The spiritual master, his business is to open our eyes, which are blinded with the darkness of ignorance, with the torchlight of knowledge. That's his business. To wake us up. To clarify our vision. It's not that there isn't there already that love of Krishna. That understanding is there, dormant. Siddha Krishna Prem Saja Kabanai Shravanadi Shujititi Koryudai. It's already there. It's just covered over. Like a jewel covered over. The spiritual masters, they're endeavoring, the Lord also is endeavoring, to remove the coverings so we can see things clearly. It's not something that's gained from external source. It's awoken in due course of time. One realizes that knowledge in due course of time as the heart becomes purified by following proper instructions. If we follow our impure whims of our mind, our lust, and the lust which covers our intelligence, mind, and senses, then we're not going to get the clear picture. It's a little tough. We're maybe a little used to following our ego, like Krishna says to Arjuna in the 18th chapter, have you heard me with an attentive mind, or your doubts now removed? If you don't hear me, but act through false ego, you will be lost. It's our tendency, even in our endeavors to become Krishna conscious sometimes. The good old false ego is, very, very strong. You have to take shelter of the real ego, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To purify our consciousness, the process is, especially in Kali Yuga, is given very nicely, very simply, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and naturally disseminated by pure devotees in our line of disciplic succession. So we have the opportunity, even in our conditioned state, to become purified. And a revelation, pratikshavagam dharmyam, it's seen with purified senses. The senses become cleansed, mind and senses. So that's the whole process of hearing, an attentive hearing. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says all we have to do is expose ourselves to the holy name. Submissive, oral reception is the key. Just like in Prabhupada 50 years ago when Prabhupada arrived in Boston, he was praying to the Lord, "May, you know, I do not know how I'll be able to how they will be able to understand. I can make them understand this message. If you so desire, you can make my words suitable for their understanding. It's not that, you know, even Prabhupada wasn't saying, I can make them understand. He's praying to Krishna. He's approaching Krishna. And that's the whole art, to take shelter of Krishna, for his shelter, protection, guidance. So Prabhupada showed that. He wasn't saying, I've got all the words, I know what to say. He was saying, if you wish, if you so desire, you can make my words suitable for their understanding. Otherwise, he was saying, how will they understand this message? They're completely covered by the modes of ignorance and passion. Such persons cannot really understand this message. They're too much absorbed. Matirna Krishna Paratak Svatova Mitobi Padyeta Graha Vitanam and Dundagobir Vitamste Tamishram Panukpanas Chavada Chavananam. They're chewing the chewed. They're completely addicted to this material world. Dundagobir, too much involved in sense gratification, and Griyavata, too much absorbed in family life. How they'll understand Krishna? They're seeing it through this. It's a kind of this screen, filter. And we're seeing Krishna as this. Maybe we're seeing him as an order supplier. Maybe we're seeing him the giver of liberation. Maybe we're seeing him as, what, I don't know, whatever it is. People see him as stone, because our hearts are stone, because our hearts, you know, because we want liberation, therefore we see him. We see him accordingly. The pure devotees, as we've just sung in the Dhammarastakam, you know, they don't ask, you know, any amount of benedictions are no use to me. I don't want any of those benedictions. Just like Prabhupada, I mean, what did he want? It's only because, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? Should be your only thing. Not we're asking the Lord, we're his eternal servants. Our only prayer should be, you know, how we can serve, how we can serve, how we can become a servant of the servant, servant, servant. So the process where Krishna gives that realization. And that's his mercy. The mercy is there, and Prabhupada has meant that many times. The mercy is already there. We just have to take it. And we've got it right on our doorstep. I mean, right, not just on our doorstep. It's everywhere here. This is a manifestation of Krishna's mercy, Bhaktivedanta Manor. And Srila Prabhupada's books are another. And we have lots of books. I'm not sure what's going on here. Are you going to do a sales pitch afterwards, or what's happening here? You've got piles of books here. What is this? No, I'm not disturbed. I'm just curious to know what we're... Great. Can I see what you're distributing? No, don't be sorry. I'd be sorry you should be there. Very happy to have. Oh, very nice. Science books. Wonderful. It's on Prabhupada. One of Prabhupada's god-nephews, disciple of one of his god-brothers, one time said, he said, he gave a talk in Vrindavan on Prabhupada's Tirubhav a long time, 20 years I would reckon, more or less ago. And he said, Swami Maharaj, because he addressed him like that, of all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, understood the message of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, while others were simply quarreling and discussing tattva, Swami Maharaj took this message and he preached, and he particularly attacked science and sense gratification, he said. A nice talk, just a short and sweet. But it was a nice realization, I mean, from coming from the situation he's in, it's amazing. And it's true, I mean, we may have become a little bit, say, backed off into a, I don't know, whatever, but and, you know, it was a time when there was a strong affront against science and these different things, which are basically dictating so many things in people's thoughts and, you know, even their religion and their conclusions of life are influenced by it so much so, right from birth. So there's a big challenge, and it's great you're distributing these books about Bhaktisrupa Damodara Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We hope that some people will start to think, start to wake up. And that's the whole business of our movement, to try to wake up, come to our, if we don't come to our senses, we're not going to be able to help others very much. We can pass Prabhupada's books on, that's fantastic. But, you know, people also want to see some, I suppose you could say, some examples. They want to see somebody who, you know, something there, some change is taking place. And, of course, they are taking place. And all you devotees are making wonderful progress, I'm sure, in your Krishna consciousness. And that hearing, Lord Brahma, because he had his competency, and he was, as he Vishaga, the second creator of the universe, he's the Lord, and he performed tapasya. How did he get that ability to receive that knowledge? Was through tapas, through austerity, penance. Without penance, one cannot understand this message. And penance doesn't mean that we have to stand on our head or submerge ourselves under the cold lake in the middle of the winter, and something like that. They'll probably be taken away if you try to do that anyway. But even if you do try to do that, that's not the process of penance for Kali Yuga specifically. Some devotees have tried to imitate it over the years, but it's not. Prabhupada didn't recommend it. And the penance is to preach Krishna consciousness, to practice Krishna consciousness, you could say. Regulated principles are not easy to follow in this day and age. Different degrees of strictness there, but we have to work towards it. And it's not just a matter of subduing the pushings, it's a matter of, positively speaking, being so absorbed in devotional service that it becomes a desire, that which is favorable for devotional service. Some sort of surrender, is we accept the regulated principles are favorable for devotional service. So if we want to accept that which is favorable, then we make all effort to accept those regulated principles of freedom, which Krishna talks about in Bhagavad Gita. They're supportive to our objective goal. So Lord Brahma performed tapasya, and from that tapasya, of course, he got the mercy of the Lord. He was able to visualize and understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord reciprocates as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. And that surrender is this, basically this penance, putting aside our false egotistical conditionings and trying to hear the direction of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. And it's an ongoing excitement. Don't look at it as being a challenge, you could say, but it's actually exciting. It's exciting. It really is. To watch how the mind and the intellectual's tendency to divert away from the objective goal, and sometimes other devotees also may test us. We look at it like that. They test us. They're not that they are diverted from the ultimate goal, but they test us to make sure that we're still on the path sometimes in different ways. And certainly Guru Goswami is very expert at that, tempting us to look into other areas. And now Prabhupada mentions here about telephones, and not many people use what we traditionally call a telephone anymore, do they? Huh? People give you a mobile. You cannot do anything in this world except for, unless you've got a mobile now, isn't it? Practical. Can't do anything. You can't do anything. Don't be surprised if you get a phone call sometimes from God knows who, because I just put down anyone's mobile phone when they ask me for a phone. I don't even know whose it is. Could be one of you. I don't know. Hello, is that Mr. Swami there? Hey, what? You're giving me your phone number. you can't do anything. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible world. If it was like, is that Krishna on the other end? That's good. We don't need a telephone. And if you can use it to help people to remember Krishna, jolly good show. Great. But otherwise, it's most of the time we're not hearing about Krishna and the various channels of communication nowadays. Our technology can be, everything can be used in Krishna service wonderfully, no doubt. We just have to be careful that we don't abuse, or to get deviated. We have to use these things nicely in Krishna service. That's a penance. That really is a penance, isn't it? When you go on internet, or you go on, I don't know, maybe it isn't. It seems to me it is a penance, and perhaps I'm really fallen. But in the Facebook and all these things, I opened up a Facebook account 2 weeks ago for the first time in my life. I closed it 2 days ago. It's not something to be clapped necessarily. It can be used for the right purposes, and I salute those devotees who use it for the right purposes. I'm not so qualified, but I only opened it up to try to trace a devotee who drifted away from Krishna consciousness somewhat, and somebody told me the only way you'll get him is on Facebook, and I found him on Facebook before I knew it. There was like 500 other people pestering me on Facebook. And God knows, they didn't look like they were Krishna conscious, most of them. And so I quickly closed the account, having achieved my purpose. Anyway, you may use it for good reasons, and I hope you do. And as I say, I offer my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times to those devotees who do use it well. But just be careful. There are, you know, mayas. Maya is very powerful, and we have to be very careful. You have to take direction from the right source. The right source association is the key factor. Key factor. There was no one else for Brahma to associate when he started off. So he just didn't know what to do. He just searched for his origins, and the Lord rewarded him. That was his duty. I mean, that was his position, to act on behalf of the Supreme Prince. Everyone's position. And we've just forgotten it, so now we have to try to renovate our lifestyle and try to take direction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, Prabhupada's giving us that. Guidelines, directions, it's up to the mercy. He's giving us that mercy. The mercy, Prabhupada said in my books, simply you have to take it. Swamiji, give me your mercy, Prabhupada said. My mercy is already here, you just have to take it. Same thing for us, everything's here. Just have to take it. And this is the month of Damodar, a wonderful month, a great month for, you know, let's say, accelerating our devotional service a little bit. You're authorized to increase your devotional endeavors and practices at any time, but especially in this month of Damodar, it's very much mercy is there, extra mercy. So take advantage of it. Try not to waste time in any frivolous activity, and use our time as much as we can in say authorized devotional practices. Wonderful month. And also a couple of small little things. I do have to go shortly. But Mukunda Maharaj, I don't know if there's any update on him. I got an update yesterday. Is there any update this morning? Oh, good. He's unconscious now? He was unconscious yesterday when I checked, but I don't know today. So today or sometime our time, it might be tomorrow, Australian time, he is scheduled to have his hip surgery. Let's just hope and pray that it's successful and Maharaj can continue to give his association so badly needed to the world today. Having been the very first initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada, the very first initiated disciple in 1966 in New York, along with 10 or 11 other young boys and young men and women. And he's the only, probably I think he's the only really active one of those original, within ISKCON, let's say, those original 11 or 12 devotees who took initiation there in New York. He's the only one within ISKCON active today. Some have passed away, some don't know where they are. So we have a very special part to play, and he's also giving us that opportunity to associate with Prabhupada, with his memories and his writings and so on and so forth. So it's a very valuable association for all of us. As you know, I guess you all know, he wasn't the first president here, but he was one of the first presidents here. Presidents used to change quite quickly in those days. For a president to change two or three times in a month was not unusual in the early 70s. And it wasn't quite so quick here at the manor, but it was quite quick sometimes. Some of you may have been here in 73. I can't remember one after the other. I mean, different devotees took that post for short periods of time. But then he became the first kind of stable president here. And that would have been 74, I suppose, end of 73 or 74, something like that. And he was the president here for some time, more than a year, and he was still here even after that. He played a very, very significant role here in this early days of our Bhaktivedanta Manor very important role in stability, purity, simplicity, humility. Prabhupada wasn't particularly, I'd say, known for his scholastic presentations. And Prabhupada pointed it out one time. So he became very serious. We were staying in the same room upstairs. I don't know what it is now. It used to be Radha Mohan's room and Ananta Purushottam's room. I don't know what it is now. Is that one? Huh? What's the room? Mayapur? Mayapur room? Anyway, kind of opposite Prabhupada's room. So we were staying there together, and he was a present. I was a treasurer. So, and he would get up every morning. It was, of course, it was a little hard for me, but he would get up every morning at 2 o'clock, 2:30, without on the spot, on the dot. And he would read for like an hour and a half before Mangalarti, because Prabhupada said he should, you know, become more, you know, familiar with the philosophy of, because not he didn't know the philosophy, but, you know, in quoting and this and that. And he would shave his head. That was interesting. Every single morning he'd shave his head when he got up. Yeah, quite interesting. And then he would read, and, you know, he was a very unassuming and humble and simple, kind-hearted, and still is, personality, you know, a very unique saintly person who one can learn so many things by their association, even though they may not be like somebody, front-line preacher. But we need that also. But we certainly need examples of those who are actually, actually have qualities of a Vaishnava. And he's one of those persons who's definitely imbued those qualities of natural qualities of a Vaishnava. So we hope and pray that his hip operation will be successful in every respect, and we can get his association more. And we just don't see him here much these days. He hardly travels. I don't think he'll travel. Probably won't travel anymore after this. Krishna may arrange, but he hasn't traveled much. He stays at New Govardhan in Australia pretty much the whole time. But he preaches from there on the internet in various other ways. Jai Mukunda Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Because I do have to leave pretty shortly. But we were happy to discuss or hear from you. Any questions or comments, please?